are changing drastically every day as we face the worldwide impact of COVID-19. More than ever, we need to be reminded to lift our eyes to the Lord, who alone remains constant. Join now Pastor George Small and a special guest as they set aside this time to remind our hearts of the unchanging truth found in God's Word. Now let's join Pastor George Small.
Well, welcome to this special one-hour program on Renew FM. It is once again a privilege of mine to be with you for this next, I guess it's about 50, 55 minutes. And we have been doing this for quite some time now with this COVID-19 pandemic. And I think it's probably, 10 weeks for us. In 10 weeks of just turning on our microphones here in the studio at 6 o'clock and doing anything we can, interviewing pastors and interviewing missionaries and so forth, just to encourage you in your walk with the Lord as a Christian at this time, give you hope. And if you don't know the Lord also, to, you know, get to the opportunity to hear some Christian pastors and some with very different backgrounds and educated in different ways, but also just with a heart for God, and you get to listen to us. So I pray if you're listening and you don't know the Lord, that God is speaking to your heart also. It's a privilege for me tonight to have with us my pastor from Southern California. His name is Mike McIntosh. He's been with us before. And so I'm going to bring Mike on the air. Mike, welcome to Renew FM.
Hey, thank you so much, George. It's a privilege to be with you, buddy, and be with your audience. And I pray for the whole Boston, Massachusetts area that you're covering with the radio, that we could see some heavenly things take place in this audience, even today during this program, and that God would use Boston once again as a center of revival for the American people, as it was in the very early days of our country.
Amen. Yeah, I have always been intrigued by the history of revival that has taken place in New England. And I know you and I have even talked about some of those things, and it is a time, it is a place in the world where there's, you can visit even sites that have, stories, historical times where just God really did an amazing thing through the first and second Great Awakening and so forth. And so, yeah, I think of those things and have thought of those things, all my time now, 25 years in New England, what God might yet do again. And here we are at this time of this pandemic, and it's so extraordinary. I just use that word. It's a small word, really, to describe what is going on right now around the world and in our nation. It is so incredible. And in Massachusetts, we have, I don't know, maybe 90, we might be approaching 100,000, people that are confirmed infected, and I don't know, 6,000 deaths. I'm not sure. I haven't looked recently, but it is a reality around here. I was at the hospital the other day, and I asked a security guard who was taking me up to the ICU, and I was surprised they were even going to let me in, and it's a bit unusual, but somebody in our church was dying, and I was being taken up to the ICU, and I asked the man, I said, how are things going around here? And this young man told me, he said, there's been a lot of death. And then I was just at the hospital 2 days ago, just doing this prayer Facebook Live video thing with the chaplain on the lawn there by the helicopter, in front of the hospital. And and as, just saying a prayer for all the people inside, but I was just talking about the situation in the hospital with her. And she said, this is our local hospital. I think she said last night, the night that we were there, we were there in the morning, she said there were 7 that died, I believe. But also just affirming, it's true. It's the elderly. It is those that are in the nursing homes. It's true. And those that are in the assisted living. But young people, too. She was even telling me that, at some time before our conversation, a 40-year-old had died in our local hospital from COVID-19. It's an incredible time with just what it's doing in our world economically and all these things. A lot we can always talk about. And this time seems to go by quickly. But I'm really thankful, Mike, to have you on. You certainly, in my perspective, have had an appreciation of revival, having lived through the Jesus movement. You were there even in the early days of the Jesus movement in Southern California. And then what God did through your life and ministry, all that you know. And I feel when I went to your church in 1990, it was the first time I went there, I felt, wow, there's something beautiful here. And maybe it was the tail end of the Jesus movement still going. I don't know, but I just sensed just the grace of God in a church that I've never really sensed before, and the power of God, and And so it's just a blessing to have you on, because there's so many of us that are praying right now for revival. And there are many people that are listening that are even in the church have never even experienced revival. So I'm blessed to have you on. And, you know, Mike, having lived through the Jesus movement and looking around at the world today, I know there's probably some correlation you can give related to what's just happening in the world as far as the 60s and now. And, you know, there's a lot of similar factors in certain ways culturally. But what's your thoughts as far as revival and just this hour? And, you know, I'm going to give the mic to you, Mike. Mike to you, Mike.
That's, well, that's Mike squared. You know, there's a lot of similarities between, say, 1970 to today, 50 years, in our country. One is that there was a older generation that was passing away. That would have been our parents, my parents, and grandparents were going. And the World War II babies is before 1950, that the country was rooted and actually turned towards the Lord, and God began prospering America. But at the turn of 1960, we were now teenagers, and if we watched, and we didn't know what was going on, but there was a shift, and this shift is taking place right now. And for the audience's sake, I would just give you just some little brief things, not a whole bunch of research. But there was a great transfer of wealth, and the greatest transfer of wealth in history is taking place right now as the older generation, be my parents, have gone, and their wealth was passed on to my generation. And now my generation, which is the largest in the history of the USA, and we're now the oldest people, and there's a young generation below us, a couple of generations that don't know the Lord. They don't know the name of Jesus or what he did or who he is. Church is irrelevant to them, just like it was for me when I was a young teenager. So there's this semblance. And we were at a time in history where the Communist Party USA and the atheists of America gathered together and started turning people away. And they used drugs against the population. And then all of a sudden, God stepped in on the scene with what you just called the Jesus movement. And it was, because in the West Coast, it hit very, very powerfully, because there was a lot of quote-unquote hippies and lots of drugs flowing in the Southern California area. And yet Jesus steps in, and a tremendous outpouring of the Holy Spirit happened. And God took a pastor named Chuck Smith, who had always pastored churches less than 100 people. 150, I think, was his largest church. And he did not identify with the hippies. He didn't like the hippies. He had a work ethic that was different than hippies kicking back. He didn't use drugs. He didn't drink. God used this man to love a generation and teach them about the Lord. And I had the privilege of being caught up in that at that time. And 2 years later, his church ordained me as a minister. I just fell so madly in love with the Lord and forgiveness. And my wife and I had been divorced almost 3 years. And she came to the Lord after she saw the change in my life. And we were remarried after 3 years of divorce as Christians a second time. My mom came to the Lord at the age of 60. Her mother and father came to the Lord. On and on and on, people started coming to the Lord. And so I was an intern with Chuck Smith for 5 years and drove back and forth about 200 miles round trip every Monday night for a while with 10 people. And they grew to about 1,000 people the first year from a Bible study. And it just kept growing and growing. So we moved to San Diego. We had no bank account, maybe to our name total, $100, but we had four children. And we went by faith, and God honored that. And so the fruit in 1990 that you were feeling was still my fire that was burning for 20 years, my heart. And the love for the Word and the simplicity of the gospel and the lifestyle. And that's what our country is in turmoil right now. We've got that which you'd be thrown in jail for is legalized. And in fact, until the President of the United States of America said today, I want the churches opened, the mosques and the places of worship for all religions, and it's a vital part, integral part of us as a people to have spiritual input and faith. And that, I think, is just an amazing thing to hear from a president. Mm. And now we have this issue of so many people, almost, it might be at 39 million this evening, that are out of work, that have lost their jobs. One of the wealthiest times in history that this businessman that became president used all of his business acumen and how to make things function against 99.9% derogatory personality pictures of him in the media, and we were prospering. But what happens in prosperity is people don't need God. And I think now, I think this man probably has the same ability to restart the country. And now we need to get to God. And I think God is using this in a tremendous way, a fantastic way, really. My son, who replaced me, was doing a study on the web today, and he's telling about how that they meet in homes, and people invite a neighbor to come and sit with them that they know, and they're socially distanced, they wear their mask, but they watch on the internet, watch Philip. And a lady came to a house of her neighbors, and she wept, I guess, and came to tell them that I have not been to church for 40 years.
Wow.
And this situation has drawn me back. Then he told of another story of a family. Apparently, the kids were raised knowing about the Lord, and the wife did, but all the years of the marriage and the kids being small, dad never read the Bible to them or prayed or went to church. And last Sunday, there was a knock on the door at 10 a.m. That's when they watch Horizon on the internet, and it was this man's dad. It was the first time ever in his life that he knew that he sat before the Word of God in prayer, and he recognized that he needed the Lord. So I think we have people realizing that politically we have traitors among us, and we have people that are trying to destroy America in the guise of being powerful people. And this is something that was prophesied, that there'd be traitors in the last day. And another thing is Second Timothy chapter 3, if the audience is interested in reading chapter 3, you'll get step by step, line by line, precept by precept, of what the majority of the hearts will be like before Jesus returns. Mm. There'll be a loss of natural affection. That's one of them. On and on and on. And you see, this is it. That's what's going on. And I think a lot of people that were godless have come awake because they've seen some with attitudes that are governors and senators and congress members that don't like the church. And they're keeping it closed down, and they don't want people getting together. But yet, the marijuana dispensaries are needed. They're actually needed, they say. And abortions can be given, but no churches. In San Diego and Southern California, the Indian tribes have opened up their casinos. It's okay to go waste your money in gambling and get drunk or whatever you do at those places. But it's not good for people to come together to sing and to worship God Almighty because they're troublemakers. And so we have the perfect storm, George, that the Lord is giving America a chance to repent of its sins. And if it does, God will favor us once again. And if we as a people do not repent, then he's backing total away, and judgment will just be what comes our way.
Yeah, Mike, I have that same conviction in my heart. You know, I'm not a prophet, I can't speak for the Lord, but I am burdened for our nation and burdened in the direction that the nation has been going. We just have lost all sense. You know, there's a blindness, and it just continues to unravel. We started to do prayer walks, and God moved our hearts, and I was out, you know, on a prayer walk last night, just praying in our city. But I just think, I agree with you that if there isn't a revival, if there isn't something radically that changes the direction of this country, you know, I look at COVID-19, I can't speak for God, but you know, it's as if it's his mercy. You know, I've quoted this on this program too, where I think it was Billy Graham, right, that said that, you know, the tide, you know, the culture, the sin revival is sort of like a tide. It goes in and out, and at times God just stops the tide, you know, from going out any further. He intervenes all of a sudden, says, this is as far as I'm going to let it go right now. And then there's this change in the tide and a time of revival. And maybe COVID-19, God's, you know, I've wondered, again, I just say this so tentatively before an infinite God, but maybe he, maybe he's like, I'm not ready to completely bring down the hammer, so I've got to intervene. You know, I've got to intervene now because this is just going too quick. And I, that's what I believe. I do, you know, I don't, God, it's as if God just stopped everything for a moment. And I pray revival will come. I've been teaching the last couple Sundays through Joel. And, you know, Joel is interesting. First chapter, God sends a prophet. There's been a natural disaster. He comes in using the natural disaster to warn the people that if they don't turn, there's a greater judgment coming. And, you know, using this time of COVID-19, what is God doing? And we need to get serious with God, turn back to God. Who knows what's coming? And then Joel, speaking of that, you know, looking forward to really the picture of revival, right? Pentecost and revival, and then, you know, the last days. And so I've just been, you know, in my heart, that's been my desire. So many of us are saying the same sort of things, but I don't mean to take up all the time because you're our guest. No, no. We want to hear from you. So, so I'm going to give it back to you, Mike.
Well, as you know, I pastored for 41 years and 4 days, a beautiful church in San Diego. And I've been traveling a lot in the last 5 years around the country. And when I first came to the Lord, the battle was on the college campuses, and I was their worst nightmare, that the communists would get up and start ranting and raving and pull the flag down and light on fire, and then I'd get up and speak about the freedoms and liberties. And the Christians came up to me one day, a group of them, about six or eight, and it was at the beginning of the Jesus movement, and they said to me, Mike, are you a Christian? I said, well, of course I am. I'm American. They said, oh, okay, thank you, and they walked away. They started praying for me, though. And a lot of people think they're Christians, but they're not. And that's what a revival does. It revives something that was once alive. And maybe many of the audience, like I'm finding in cities all over our country, as boys and girls, they heard about Jesus. They went to Sunday school. Their mom or dad, you know, did have a Bible, but they've been asleep all this time. So that's a revival. And the difference I have felt in studying revivals and awakenings. An awakening is, I think, a complete move of the Holy Spirit to wake up, like when George Whitefield or D.L. Moody in Massachusetts would preach. People that weren't believers, they woke up. It was a great awakening, it was called. But for the believer, it's a revival, giving life back to something where life has waned. And about last year at this time, March, April, May, I started having this idea about the Midwest, and I don't know why. I do a radio program on Calvary Radio Network on Mondays. It's a call-in program like yours. And I got to know a lot of the pastors because I'd have them as guests. And then I realized the Lord was talking to me about taking a message to the heartland. And so after 2 or 3 months of praying and seeking the Lord, I asked one pastor, would you be interested at all? It's nothing about money. It's not a big extravaganza. The Lord wants a witness and in the heartland. And it's a witness that at the judgment he could call on and say, did I not say I loved America and I sent you to the heartland? I said, okay, sir, I got it. And he said, just think simple, the city park or a high school, small town stadium, if there's a few hundred people, but it's not like what I've done before with tens of thousands of people. And I said, I got it. At the time, I had $1,500 in my account, and I thought, I don't know how I'm going to pay for this or anything, and I'm not going to ask for money. And all of a sudden, we started meeting on Zoom on Fridays at in my time, morning, afternoon, for those in the Midwest. And we now have, just in the month of July, we have 11 confirmed dates and locations that people want us to come to their towns. In the state of Ohio, we have four committed, and they're just settling the dates and locations for the month of August. And now, when I was taking calls last Monday, a man actually called from a prison, and he had a question for Don McClure and Raul Reeson, who were my guests. And as he's talking, I could hear a real clear heart here, a man that had sinned so much so that he's incarcerated, but he loves the Bible. He's come to know the Lord. And he said, I don't know what more I can do, but I'm going to pray for your outreach to the Midwest. I'm 35 miles from Madison, Wisconsin. I said, listen, I start on, I think, the 9th of July in Madison, Wisconsin. And if your warden would allow me to come in, I could bring one or two musicians with me. And I'd be glad to give you a Bible study and any friends you have and have some free music, no charge, nothing. He couldn't believe it. Well, now that's turning into a reality. And it's been like that, George, from one word of mouth to another word of mouth. There's been no advertising other than my Facebook. It's being mentioned. But now we have like 17 towns when last year at this time we didn't have 17 minutes. And now we've got people that are coming out of the woodwork and they would like to lend me a car while I'm there to drive around. We've got people saying, would you speak to the police department and the fire department of our small town in Michigan? And it's just a wonderful thing to see. And I was telling these pastors today, and there was three of us originally. I think there's like 15 or 17 of us now that meet on Fridays. And I was telling them, this is not your regular production. This is the Lord looking for pastors that would have a heart for an awakening or a revival in America. And I'm thrilled to see your faces on Zoom every Friday, because I've seen a spark come into each of you over these last several weeks that we've been praying together. And now they're telling me stories of how God's miraculously working. And people are saying, we saw this is going to be in our town. What can we do to help? We'd like to help pay for this. Everything you'd say, what? And it's sparking, if nothing else happens, it sparked a revival already in the hearts of the pastors. And now we have several towns that are talking with some of these pastors, and we may end up having another 10 here before the end of June. And God is going to speak. And I know it's a message of love, and his message simply is, tell the people, I love Americans. Don't preach to quote-unquote America. Tell the people, I love Americans. The politic and the corporate image of America is not what I save. It's the people of a country. And I want them to know that they have sinned against me, and I am going to bring judgment to them. But if they will repent of their sins, I will hear their land if they'll call out and pray and seek my face. I'll forgive them of their sins. And I think of Abraham when God was going with the angels to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham said, well, if there are 50 righteous people, would you spare it? And God said, I would for 50. Well, he had a nephew there and his wife and daughters. And he said, well, okay, how about 40? I'd spare it for 40 people. Well, excuse me, but how about 30 people? I'd spare it for 30. 20, I'd spare it for 20. Would you spare it if you could find 10 righteous people? And he said, for 10 righteous people, I'd spare the city. And you know that story quite mm-hmm. well. And Lot and his wife and his daughters left town. There's the four of them, but there weren't six more that were righteous in that town. And God is saying to Massachusetts and to the East Coast, just what he's saying to the heartland right now, I will spare the East Coast if I can find 10 righteous people. And God will spare. And he doesn't have to be the meanie that people think that he is. When he backs away, he's a gentleman. He doesn't force anybody to believe in him. He doesn't twist anybody's arm to quote-unquote get saved. But he has blocked so much damage from our country that now, since we've turned from him, if we as a people say we don't want him anymore, then natural events are taking place all over the world, earthquakes all over the world, in the Midwest, another up in the north. You got these horrible snowstorms that happen. Now you got Michigan flooding, and dams are breaking. And all over the country, the temperature of the sun has cooled down, and it's the least sunspots they've seen in, I don't know, 200-300 years, which is going to bring a cold winter. So goodbye for the global warming. Our planet's magnetic poles are waning and getting weaker, and that's a sign of a future polar axis shift. And Isaiah the prophet said, in the last days, the earth is going to reel to and fro, be removed out of its place like a cottage, like a drunkard staggering down the street. And today, physicists tell us that we are out of tilt of our 23-degree angle on our axis, which causes us to smoothly rotate and go around the sun and give us four different seasons, and that's all going away. Crime has exploded. There's a loss of natural affection. And all the things that Second Thessalonians chapter 3 says the heart will be like is what America, unfortunately, and I love my country and my fellow countrymen and women, is we've got that heart. And now Europe is in post-Christian era. We have crossed the line of post-Christian era. We're not yet border-to-border totally post-Christian, but there's a remnant. And God has raised up this radio network, Renew FM, to remind the people in your community that I love you. I love you so much. I gave my only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to take your sin off of you and put it upon him, and that God would accept the death of his Son. If you put your faith in him, he'll erase all of your sin and give you eternal life. And that's what it's about. The Christians need to wake up and see that God is speaking, and the non-believers need to wake up to a newness of life. And so when the revival hits in the body of Christ, George, I don't know if you ever thought about this, but in Peter, talking about the end of the world, he says, judgment shall begin in the house of the Lord.
Yep.
And as a dad, I understand that. I've got 6 children and 20 grandchildren. Just had our 8th great-grandchild. A little girl was born 2 days ago. And Josephine is part of the clan. And I'm not going to go across the street and bawl out the kids that are doing stuff rowdy in the neighborhood. They're not my kids. But when my kids come home, I'm going to talk to them. And that's what God's saying. Look what just happened. The federal government, the state government, the county and the city governments, of in God in whom we trust, this nation, one nation under God, where Barack Obama came on in his early months and said, America is not a Christian nation. And I thought, who gave him the authority to say that? But look what has happened.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, we, as a people, are being judged.
Okay. Amen, Mike. Yeah, we're going to come right back after this break. It's a 2-minute break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to the second half hour of this special one-hour program on Renew FM, Monday to Friday, 6 to 7 o'clock, something we've been doing now for some time. And tonight we have a special guest, Mike McIntosh. If you weren't able to listen to the first half hour, sharing his heart, a man who has a lot of ministry years and part of even, you know, came to the Lord during the middle of a revival, the Jesus movement in Southern California, and God used him mightily later himself and pastoring a church, planting, being a part of a church that plant other churches and so forth, but just sharing his heart for the middle of our country and revival. And so we're going to get back to our discussion. So, Mike, welcome back to Renew FM.
Dave, thank you very much, and thank you, audience throughout Massachusetts, for tuning in. In chapter 11 of Hebrews, it starts that chapter saying, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. And I think when revival happens, it's men and women that have hearts, their heart breaks that people are so ungodly in their community. And you look forward and you don't see anything, but if you have faith and don't see it, that's really what God honors. He honors our faith. And so I was speaking about 2020 vision. There's now a Heart for the Heartland, a website that you can go to is 2020heartland.org, and you can sign up. We're looking for 100,000 prayer warriors that'll join in. And the Lord had given me a call last year from Memorial Day, which is next week, through Labor Day to be open for the Midwest. And I said, what is this about? He said, I want you to speak in the Midwest, in the heartland, the heart of America, and tell the people that God loves them. But as a people, we have sinned against him, and he is going to judge us as a nation. However, if we will repent of our sins, he will forgive us of our sins, and he will give a fresh spirit to the United States of America. And he was very clear, George, I'm not having you preach to America. I'm having you tell Americans, the people, not the corporate image or the political image of America, but the wonderful men, women, boys, and girls of all different races, all different ages, and all different backgrounds. And so it took me about 3 months to accept this message. And then as I shared, I think I shared it with Jim Machagan from Calvary Radio, and he shared it with another pastor. And now all of a sudden we've been meeting four or five Friday mornings and praying, and there's about 17 of us now. And pretty much the month of July is just packed with from Michigan, Indiana, Illinois, Wisconsin, and we just got four new churches that have said, would you come to our town? And the state of Ohio, and there may be seven towns that are opening up right now for Ohio. So what I see, what my faith is, the things that are hoped for, is that in the heartland, souls will get saved, definitely, and people will see revival. I'm already seeing it in the pastors looking on the Zoom on my screen as I talk to them. Just each week, there's more of a glow, and they're smiling, and they're thrilled to be a part of something together. And I think New England will have the same thing. I don't know who, what, where, when, or how, but if people with hearts like yours will seek the Lord, this wickedness that has taken over Hollywood, California, and Washington, D.C., it's utterly filth and wickedness, has risen to the top power position. And God is going to judge us. But if we will humble ourselves and seek his face, and we pray and repent of our sins, God will forgive us.
Amen. Amen. Mike, as you're talking, you know, I'm thinking back to when you came to New England a long time ago. I've just been thinking about it, and I would like to pray that maybe in September after Labor Day, maybe there's a couple stops for you in New England. And if you're a pastor listening right now to Renew FM and Mike McIntosh, you'd like him to come to your community, give us a call here at the radio station. Leave a message if you don't get someone. But we, you know, I was thinking about years ago. Remember, you came with a band and you were in the band. And, you know, here, Mike, you've had, you know, crusades all over the world, different countries, some very, very large, you know, and the Philippines and Mexico, massive crusades. And, you know, lots of people come to Christ. And, you know, that whole evangelism part to your, you know, pastoring a church and going out and do these huge crusades in different places, so many stories. But then I remember I was just new here. It was in the 90s, just getting started, and you wanted to speak to the Ivy League schools and trying to see what I could do in a little way. I'm just back here in New England, and some doors open here or there where you've got some universities you're going to. And I remember praying it would be great to get, you know, Mike into Harvard. And God opened the door through some gal who was a swimmer that she was a real go-getter, and she opened the door. And I don't know how often that's happened at Harvard, but I remember you got the permission to have the band play, and right there on the Harvard yard when the class ended, and I remember the dean of whatever, you know, the School of Theology came out. He was pretty upset. He's very liberal that you even got an approval. Yeah. And we didn't let you practice, but the bell went off right there in the middle of the yard. You guys started playing, and we were holding up signs and telling people, handing out flyers, hey, go to such and such a hall tonight, and Mike McIntosh is going to share with you. And I remember it was a packed out hall at Harvard in the 90s, and you just loved him and pointed him to the Lord. And God gave you grace, and I pray that you know, God would do it again. It is an amazing time, and I believe your heart is, I just affirm the same, that I believe this nation needs to take this moment so seriously. And I think the church, we just need to take this moment seriously. We don't know even what's coming next. And like that pattern in Joel, where the prophet says, take a look around at the natural disaster. If you don't take heed right now, you know, call a fast, call a sacred assembly. If you don't, there's greater judgment coming. An enemy army will invade. And maybe they did what they were supposed to do, and it never happened. And when he spoke about revival, he even saw Pentecost, right, where the Holy Spirit poured out, and men and women, you know, children, you know, all that, the revival. And I pray for revival. I pray that revival would come. We walk up and down the streets of Fitchburg here and pray, and I look at these buildings, and I look at all the need, and like you said, I see beyond it. God, you can even use COVID-19 to rebuild the city in a different way. Some of the darkness that's been here and dark businesses can end, and you can bring in good, healthy ones, and you can even use it to tear down one thing and build up a whole new community later. You bring streams in the desert and rivers of water in the wilderness. So we'll pray for New England, and anybody listening, you know, you're a pastor, minister, give me a call, give our radio station a call. You can go to renewfm.org and get our information. Email us, call us, and you can also call 888-310-PRAY. But this is Pastor Mike McIntosh, and I'm going to give it back to you, Mike. But, you know, there's pastors, there's ministry leaders. Let's, you know, listening to Renew FM, we'll hear this program. It's being recorded. It's going to be replayed, too, and people will download it. What would you say also, you know, I'm sure you have some other thoughts in your heart, too, but what would you say to the pastors and leaders of and ministry people of New England?
Well, I would say from my many years of pastoral care that I would take this advantage to just pour your heart out to the throne of God. When you think of the power of prayer, that God sees it in such a way that angels, it tells us in the book of Revelation, carry our prayers in golden vials into his throne room. And our prayers are like a sweet fragrance to him. Now you got these angelic beings that are worshiping him day and night. You've got this crystal clear sea of glass in front of his throne and this beautiful emerald aura around his throne. And it's like a light music show going on. And it's only the background to receive our prayers. I would encourage you, pastors, pray like you've never prayed before. And I think the website is called 2020heartland.org, and it's what's happening just in a few weeks, the rest of the summer, and started with just a vision for me from the Lord. And now there's 17 pastors, I think, about that we have meeting on Zoom every Friday, and we are going to take the message of God's love and call for repentance to the heartland of America. And it is a joy to see all these pastors that care about their country and their towns and cities. And I just think that if you all start praying and come in unity one with another, the Lord will let the Holy Ghost fall, and he will save souls. And George, you mentioned about that band. For the sake of the audience, let me just explain something. I was looking for a way to evangelize in New England, and though I play a little bit of piano, a little bit of guitar, not much, but we put together a Beatle band, and we rewrote lyrics in a parody, and we actually paid royalties to the Beatles, to Lennon and McCartney, for their songs, and we got permission to use them, and though the musicians around me were musicians, real musicians, and my guitar allowed me just to be in the group and then to share my testimony and share Jesus. So we went to Harvard and Yale, University of Rhode Island. I forget the name. Did we go to Boston College? Went to Brown.
You went to Brown. I know you went to Fitchburg State, too. You went to Harvard.
State.
So
here's two things that happened that I think might make a picture that it is not hard for an evangelistic outreach to bring souls, because if your heart's pure, God's going to bring you those souls. But George mentioned how upset the person was when he found out we got a permit to sing out in the open at Harvard. And they sounded just like Beatles songs. And you listen, you realize they're not talking about, what? What is that? The John Lennon song, Revolution. Well, we changed it to Evolution, so you believe in evolution. Well, and so we used it. That night, we went to this hall, and it was full, if I remember correctly.
Yes, it was.
And it's just a beautiful hall. And we played, I think, 8 days a week. And everybody was sitting in these big leather couches and chairs, and I could tell there was an age difference, and they weren't digging it at all. So I left the stage, and I came down, and I talked to them. I said, hey, guys, I have six children. I'm a dad. And, you know, sometimes dads don't tell their kids how much they love them or emotionally strengthen their kids. And they feel like they're doing a good job because they work hard, get money to send you to school. But let's pretend I'm your dad. And if you'll listen to the words and to what I have to say afterwards, you're going to realize that God loves you too. And we went on and played the next song, and a guy and a girl got up and started swing dancing. And then the whole room erupted, I think. And at that time, it was just friends. We were communicating, they were receiving it. Okay, a Chinese student working on his PhD comes up to me afterwards. Very broken English, excellent Chinese, but I didn't even have broken Chinese. And I got a little bit of a cartoon vision. And I had said, you know what, you're here getting your PhD. You're all here going to be the elite of our country. And you can either take your gifts and give them to God and let him bless through you, or you can just take your gifts and get blessed for yourself. So I saw this Chinese man in this little cartoon bubble above his head at a blackboard with an equation. And then I said, oh, you're wanting to know if you accept Jesus, will God use you? You wouldn't be religious. You'd still be able to use your PhD. Or I can get my PhD and keep it to myself and make money and be a happy guy till I die. I said, you got it. He said, well, then an equation, I want to ask Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. And he did. I thought that was so supernatural how he did that. So we go to Yale the next day, and we're out in the open, and I see this woman coming out of a dorm in this lunch hour, hundreds of students stopping and sitting down and listening. She was one. Hundreds of people walking by, some shaking their fists at us, some giving us hand gestures and shouting at us that they didn't like Jesus being on their campus. So I went to Lori, who used to sing with the Mamas and Papas. She was at the keyboards, and I said, see that lady over there? She was at Harvard yesterday. She said, I remember her. So I said, I want to talk to her. Would you come with me? I don't want to be seen talking to a woman alone. She said, of course. This woman said, I'm on a track team from, it was Jamaican, I think. She was Jamaican. And we had track meet to get Harvard, and now the next couple of days we'll be here in Yale. I was at the guest dorms. I heard the music playing. I came down here to the quad, and I saw it was you. You were at the Harvard open air yesterday. I said, yes, I was. Well, this lady sat there telling us, this is very strange. And the music I liked, but I didn't know this thing about Jesus. She ends up accepting the Lord. Like a guy comes all the way from China, and I have to have a cartoon above his head to understand he wants to get saved. A track runner from Jamaica comes to Harvard and Yale, and the Lord has a band there. And so I say all that for pastors, because we had a very active, loving, tremendously loving church, and about 150 plus have been planted out of that church in San Diego. And use your gifts. Let your heart open up. Be creative. And watch what God does, because people are coming back after somewhat being brainwashed for 3 or 4 months in their lockdown and bored. It's going to take a while for them to wake up. So it's going to be a whole new experience as a pastor. And God is shaking the bad fruit off the tree during this period. And the good fruit's going to stay. And I want to encourage you, pastors, don't give up hope. Hope has never been canceled. And don't give up the Word of God in prayer. God wants to use you. He wants to work in America before the judgment falls. And we, the shepherds, we're the ones that should be preparing the body of Christ for the return of the Lord, but also giving a evacuation planet Earth warning to the non-believers.
Amen. You know, Mike, as I'm listening, I'm getting text messages, too, from listeners that know my number. And I just had one for prisons. There's so many prisons in the area. We have so many COs, too, that go to our church and have a real heart and vision. We have a group that for years go in and play music and minister in the prisons. But, you know, it would be wonderful to have you come to New England, too, Mike. And who knows, maybe the Lord would open the door in the prisons.
I love it.
As I'm listening to you, I think back just a few years ago where Franklin Graham was going around the country, and he came to New England, and he was doing all those prayer rallies.
Yes.
It was the year of the election at the Capitol steps. It would be wonderful to have you come, you know, in September, if it was the will of God, to go to a few places. And so I'm going to see what the Lord might do. And if you're listening here to Renew FM and you're on board with that, again, give us a call, 888-310-PRAY. 888-310-PRAY, and we can see what God can do. But I'm going to get the word to some of my friends also. Go ahead, Mike.
That's super. I was going to say that my friend Holland Davis, who pastors San Clemente, California, Calvary Chapel, he will be coming along, and he wants to help worship and praise groups. He does conferences during the year, and he will help your church with worship and help fine-tune them and teach them some new things. And secondly, Rodrigo Rodriguez is coming. He's one of the world's great acoustic guitarists. He's a concert guitarist. He's from Ecuador. He lives in the USA. And he has such a heart for souls. And he is going to be with us. And Santos, who does doo-wop music, completely different than the other two, is excellent in prisons. I'll go to every jail in September that you can get a opening and a hearing.
Okay.
And also even with law enforcement, I'm going to invite my friend Carlos Avias, who's now a pastor, but we became very close together at 9/11. He is NYPD, 22 years in Special Victims Unit in the Bronx. And we worked side by side nonstop. He drove me wherever I had to go in the city when I was there as a chaplain. And he's going to share some testimonies. And we'll do anything. It doesn't have to be a stadium. It could be a street corner. I'd be glad to do a street corner.
Amen.
But I think that the thing is, the time is so short. As in the days of Noah. Imagine that. We're in the days of Noah. And people are marrying and giving in marriage. They're eating. They're drinking. And now we're coming out of this closure and this quarantine, this shutdown. People are now going to start eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. That was the days of Noah. And that's all been taken away from us the last 3 months. And now it's starting to open up again. This is a sign from heaven. I think that we need to be about our Father's business now. Not a year from now or 2 years from now, but right now. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall not all stay here, but we'll be caught up in the clouds always to be together with him. And we're to comfort one another with those words. So I'll be glad to be helpful and serve any way I can.
Well, amen. You know, maybe this is a sign or a confirmation, but you don't know this. But many years ago, when I just came here, I had only been here a short time before you came out with your band, I knew a man, Tim, I can't even remember his last name, and he had some music called Roll Top Records. And we were spinning them in our little old studio. We were just getting going with radio here. So Holland Davis came with Roll Top Records, and we went all over New England. So it's been many years. I haven't talked to him since, but we had SUVs, and we went all over doing music, worship conferences all over. We did them in Maine and Connecticut and Massachusetts, and it was just something that happened when I came here. And it was a lot of fun, a lot of work, but a lot of fun. So
yeah, was that a group called Sunday Shoes?
No, it was Roll Top Records. Tim Kaufman? Tim Kaufman is his name. He had these CDs. It's way back, music he was producing, and it was all worship, and Holland Davis was writing a lot of it. So,
great.
Yeah, amen. Well, boy, that would be a blessing. Maybe we can do 2020newengland.org. We'll see. So I'm going to look into it, and if you're listening, you could be praying for it. But I do think at this hour, as we're praying, we also want to, you know, God, open the doors that we can do things that, you know, there's a lot of fear in areas of New England. I was on a Zoom conference this week with some of them, you know, Calvary Chapels in Connecticut and churches around New England, you know, about opening up. And, you know, some of the churches, there are people that have died in their church. There are people even right now, young people infected with COVID-19. There is a lot of fear. You know, the closer you get to New York City and certain areas where there's a lot of it. And so we have to be led by the Lord. And I know, mm-hmm. I was thinking a lot, and I'm going to share it with our church. But when Ezra chapter 1, when, you know, God, the government gave the word, right? You know, the government gave the word, go back to your land, go back and build my house. And I just think of that. You know, the government in Massachusetts is starting to open the door in a lot of different places, like you said. But it specifically says in verse 5, because I was thinking about, you know, when that happened, all the people in Babylon, and how many people would be like, well, I don't know if I can do that. My mom isn't going to survive that journey. And isn't it really dangerous? And it was truly very dangerous, as you know, in Ezra, to go back to Jerusalem. But it says in verse 5 of chapter 1, with all whose spirits God had moved. That's the people that went. With all whose spirits God had moved, arose to go and build a house.
Oh, I love it.
And I've been thinking about that. You know, at this time, there is fear, and maybe there are people that have to do things a little different because of their health. And, you know, all these things, we have to seek the Lord right now. But there'll be those that God will speak to, and those that will be able to step and do unique and interesting things. And we can start to see his house, in that sense, rebuilt at this time
you
where
think
the doors.
Of that in Ezra, and then I think it's the 8th chapter of Ezekiel. The Lord sent angels down to Jerusalem, and he sent one angel that had an inkwell on his side and a pen, and he told that angel to go and mark the foreheads of all the men who sigh and cry over the sins of Jerusalem.
Amen.
And that's what I'm looking. I mean, like you said, I've done very large things, and I think we had a total of 250,000 people in Manila and the island of Bacolod, and Mexico for 30 years with 30, 40, 50, 70,000 people I shot. But this is all word of mouth, and that's how we know it's real.
Amen.
And they're all prayer people. And now people are seeing my Facebook, and they're saying, what can my husband and I do? What can my kids and I do? How can we help? We live in the Midwest. Are we even people writing saying, we used to live in the Midwest. We want to be a part of this. And it's just a wonderful thing to see. And there are no greater people than those right there in New England. And they deserve to forget the politics for an hour and let the Lord speak to their hearts.
Amen. Well, Mike, we're here 30 seconds to go, and it's always a real privilege. Thank you for joining us. I want to mention your website again, 2020heartland.org, 2020heartland.org, to learn about the Crusades coming up this summer, how you can be part of that. And Mike McIntosh, you can check out his Facebook. And what a privilege. We'll be back again tomorrow night at, Monday night at 6 o'clock for an hour. So tune us in next week. But Mike, again, thank you, and God bless
you. You're welcome, sir. God bless you. Thank you, George.
Listening to Renew FM, and we're so blessed you could join us tonight for our live broadcast here with Pastor George Small. We pray this time encouraged you and helped lift your eyes off the chaos of the COVID-19 crisis and unto Jesus, who remains on his throne and who also is with you right now in this very moment. Join us Monday through Fridays from 6 to 7 p.m. You can also call Renew FM at 888-310-PRAY. But most importantly, we want to remind you that you can call on the Lord and receive the encouragement you need from his word at any time. We invite you to join us next time on our live broadcast. And until then, good night and God bless you.